The Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast features people from the real estate community sharing real stories about their struggles, pains, and even losses during their own real estate journey. We share these real experiences so you can learn from them and build a successful journey of your own. Now, here's your host, Cody Lewis, one of the managing partners at Vindu Capital, located in Charleston, South Carolina.
Hey everyone, I'm so excited to have everyone back and more excited to be joined today with our guest. He is the founder and CEO of Rent to Retirement, Mr. Zach LeMaster. Zach, thanks so much for joining us today. How are you, sir?
Doing well. Excited to be here, Cody. I appreciate the opportunity to go through this kind of an unconventional podcast. You know, you have a very unique approach where everyone wants to talk about the success stories and the big wins, but not a lot of people talk about, you know, the obstacles to overcome. So it's cool to be a part of this.
Hey, we really appreciate it. And we appreciate being able to be humble and talk about those types of things. That's the real story behind all of this, is we wanted to make sure that people do know that there are challenges and obstacles and hurdles that you got to overcome to be as successful as you are today. But for those that maybe don't know your background, haven't heard your story, haven't come across you on the socials yet, Zach, if you wouldn't mind, just tell us a little bit about where you're from, how you got into real estate, and what kind of real estate you find yourself in these days.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, so I actually have a background in healthcare. My wife and I are both optometrists. We met in optometry school, practice in private practice and owned clinics and, you know, did all that jazz. I was in the Air Force as an optometrist also for 7 years, stationed in Germany and North Dakota. We've always been interested in real estate, and we always invested in real estate, Cody, in different areas where we were stationed. You know, coming into the military, you're transitioned around to different parts of the country. And so we actually, you know, focused on building our investment portfolio, not necessarily where we live, but kind of being a little bit more open-minded into investing in areas that we weren't necessarily geographically centered on, just where the numbers made sense, which is really where our business is developed. So eventually, you know, even the first house I owned, you know, was a duplex, rented out half, lived in the other half, ended up keeping as a rental, ended up building a you know, pretty large and extensive flipping business, which we also wholesaled quite a bit of properties. And then also adding the property management arm to that. And then we expanded that to multiple markets where we invested, you know, based on what markets we saw that had the best appreciation, cash flow, you know, taxes and so on. And so it's just kind of been a development. You know, I don't practice anymore. So kind of retired, I guess, in the traditional sense from practicing optometry. And now we're professional investors and focus mainly on rent to retirement, which our business model assists really investors to do the same thing we've done, which is strategically investing in different markets throughout the country that offer the best returns and having a kind of systematic approach and professional mentorship on how to do that appropriately. You know, we operate in single family, multifamily, we have new building construction across 15 different states. We also have vacation rental opportunities. And so that's kind of, I guess, fast forwarding to where we're at today.
Perfect. Well, and first and foremost, thank you for your service. We appreciate what you did. It's interesting to hear your background. And I know we were talking a little bit before we hit record on here, but understanding that you're not always working in your backyard, that you do look for those markets outside that make the most sense and have the best returns and numbers on there. I know it's not always been easy, probably some challenges along the way. Would love to understand what you guys went through and kind of how y'all came out to where you are today, being able to leave what sounds like a really great profession and probably a very lucrative one to being full-time real estate minded folks.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, and that could be a 3-hour show talking about all the obstacles, of course, but it's a challenge to invest. I guess if you're a newer investor or someone that's invested just simply locally and that's interested in investing in markets that you're not local to or unfamiliar with, there's a lot of variables. You know, it's just even emotionally and mentally. People love the tangibility of real estate, that you can see it as a physical asset. I mean, that's one of the big benefits of owning real estate over other asset classes is, you know, it's a physical asset providing a service for people, housing. But when you don't have that, you know, you got to have good systems in place and a proper approach into how do you be a successful investor in different locations. No doubt about it. It wasn't, you know, we just weren't successful right off the bat in everything that we purchased. And there's been a lot of challenges that have taken years to develop the appropriate systems and teams in place to a reproduction on the same type of outcome. But there's a lot of issues that you overcome. I mean, when you're investing out of state, you got to do a whole kind of market analysis as to why that's an area that you want to invest in. What are the laws there? You know, how do you structure your entities and LLC structure? How do you network with the local boots on the ground team and actually find and source properties, property managers? How do you know you're not being taken advantage of by contractors because they see a out-of-state area code when you're calling them and you're not meeting them in person and holding them accountable, and they could run off with your money, basically, you know, which it has happened. And we've been through all of that. But I guess to summarize some of the biggest issues is, you know, when we first started investing out of state, we actually went turnkey, which is interesting because we're a turnkey provider now, you know, for inventory. But some of the first properties that I bought were Southside Chicago. You never saw the property. I eventually did fly out to see them, but didn't, you know, bottom side unseen, which I think is actually okay as long as you're still doing due diligence, you know, having appropriate inspections and appraisals, and making sure you're vetting the people you're actually working with. Boots on the ground team, but we bought some stuff that was just kind of shoddy job on rehabs and, you know, was really in probably D class areas or low D, that just, you know, was kind of a nightmare and being kind of money pits. And those were a big challenge to start. And so that's kind of what prompted us to try to spend a lot more time developing our own teams in these areas and in a more systematic approach.
Sure. And I know there's a lot to unpack there. And like you said, we could spend hours, if not days, talking about the ups and downs and what are the best ways to do this. I'm interested to hear, you mentioned that you bought some of your first properties sight unseen. This kind of goes against some of the things that we maybe heard before that others are talking about out there, but it seems like you guys have a process now. Before you even get to those areas, without giving away too much of your secret sauce, I'd be interested, what are you looking at from like a market standpoint to help you identify good markets, being that they're not always in your backyard and they're most likely going to be out of state?
Sure, absolutely. I mean, and I don't think there's any secrets to it. It's just spending some time to evaluate what the market looks like from many factors. And I'll go through our fundamentals on how we determine a market that we want to enter into, but also making sure it's compatible with your goals and what you're trying to achieve. We mainly focus on the Southeast and Midwest, where it's a balancing act of appreciation, but also receiving positive cash flow because affordability on acquisition price. You know, if you were trying to get the best bang for your buck on appreciation, which is somewhat of a gamble, but you know, there's different geographic areas in the country you'd want to focus on that have much higher price points. But when we enter into a market and we're looking to build our own portfolio as well as open up that market to some of our investors for turnkey properties, there's a few key fundamentals. We want to make sure first that the properties are going to cash flow. It's always fundamental that they cash flow always. I think that's a big risk mitigation factor because regardless of market value, you know, if you're investing in kind of middle-class housing where there's always going to be housing demand and affordability for rents, the market can do whatever the heck it wants because someone's always going to have the need to rent that house. And really your cash on cash is going to perform the same. So that's a risk mitigation factor we have in building our portfolio. So that looks at, you know, what is the rental demand for that market as a whole? How much government assistance is going into that? Those rental figures, you know, how many people are on wait lists for housing? What are the vacancy rates? What are the overall home prices, median home price relative to rent ranges? You know, you want to make sure that you have things like landlord-friendly legislation, low taxes, because taxes are one of the biggest things that sometimes people overlook initially that can actually make you in a negative cash flow scenario, you know, even on an affordable house. So low taxes. We also want to see a stability in the economy. We don't want to be in areas where it's solely reliant on one industry, like a oil or gas type of industry, automotive. I mean, we've all seen industries that go have the ebbs and flows in where it's really dependent on one industry. So we want to invest in areas that have colleges and universities, often military bases, and Fortune 500 companies that have kind of a diversity of jobs and job growth. We want to be in the path of progress, both looking at a market as a whole, but also on a microeconomic scale, looking within a market, certain specific geographic areas where there's new transportation being built. We have people that attend city planning meetings on a regular basis to see what the trajectory is for the next 10 years of development. And so those are all things where we want to be, where their jobs are opening up, people are moving to, where there's a housing shortage, high demand, affordability. And that's just kind of on the surface, you know, to make sure it passes the initial test.
for those that are listening at home or in your car, wherever you are, back that up, write all that down. That's fantastic. For those that are maybe are looking to do that and they just wrote all that down, they're evaluating the market and they are interested. They see the numbers start to look really good. They like the market. They see some properties that look like they may be able to cash flow. What are some of the top things that you guys ran into early on that were struggles that led you to kind of build out your own team and processes to put in place in each area you're going to go through? What are some of those initial things that people should be looking out for that maybe were the biggest pain points for you early on?
Yeah, I think, you know, real estate, and I feel this way about all business really, but especially in the real estate industry, this is a people business. It's all about networking. It's finding the right people. I'm so sincere when I say that. I think that, you know, the networks that you build are far more important than any particular property you're ever going to buy for overall success, you know, because networking with the right people is what's going to take your business to the next level. So, and really that was a key point for us. You know, we can go out and have our entire systems in place to find undervalued properties. Of course, there's always the challenges of, okay, are we really appropriate on the ARV on this? Did we miss some of the projections in rehab? There's always unforeseen rehab. I mean, even today, after doing thousands of houses, it's like, okay, we just plan for it in the budget. You know, I think some people, if you're trying to do a rehab or a flip or something, are a little bit optimistic when they're looking at numbers. And one of the biggest things is how long that's going to take to be into a property. You know, if you think a rehab is going to take 3 months and, you know, sell it in another month, you know, I would almost double that if you're a new investor. Now, the market we're living in right now, that could be realistic, but we've talked with a lot of people that, man, they just rehab was extended, you know, contractors disappear. They got to go find new contractors. Just a simple fact of like holding time and costs associated with that, where money is tied up, especially if there's hard money interest with that. It can cause extensive amount of costs that can cause you to be underwater. And some people just haven't had a great exit strategy, ourselves included in that, you know, in the beginning. I think one of the biggest challenges is finding good contractors. It's like, for every good contractor that you find, you got to go through 10 bad ones. Same thing with property managers. You know, at this point, we don't do any more internal property management. We're always networking with a local team that we personally use and vet and have a good experience with before we turn them over to our clients. But the question is like, well, how do you find good people in those areas? I mean, are you looking on just Google and Yelp reviews? I mean, are you trying to attend real estate meetups? I mean, those are possible ways. But it comes back to networking. I think finding people that are operating in a high level and potentially partnering with them, or, you know, sharing resources with them where you can kind of tap in, especially in a new area where you're not well networked. You need to be well networked. And I would say that's step one, is start networking. And by doing so, that's where we've been able to connect with the other high level players in an area. And so sometimes, and I think, you know, a lot of people want to go don't want to go the turnkey route because they want to do everything themselves first. But I would actually say the great way to network and tap into an immediate business model and group of people is to buy some turnkey properties, because then you have the ability to, you know, have a little bit of a more systematic approach where there's, you know, you have confidence in the local teams. You get to work with management that's been well vetted. You get to see all the people in that specific market that, hey, if you want to go on and do some more active projects on your own, you can. But yeah, I can. I mean, shoot, man, going through contractors, it was like pulling hair out, and, you know, people stealing money, and then, you know, not completing jobs, lying to you. If you're not there in person, you need someone, a job supervisor, GC, that's overseeing them, you know.
Right. And I can't echo enough about the community and networking. I mean, if we've learned anything from last year, it's easier now than ever for us to network and to build those relationships and trust remotely, as we can reach out. Now, I'll say that this community in real estate is incredible and very helpful and very giving. Oftentimes we may be competing with each other, but it's a friendly competition, and that we all want to see each other succeed. So feel free to reach out to folks that are way more advanced than you are, maybe even more successful further down their career, and use the tools, things like Zoom. I know we're recording on Zoom and other tools out there to be able to do that. I know a lot of our local RIA meetings are doing all their meetups virtually as well as in person if they have the ability to. So for those that are looking at it, I would say, to your point, Zach, there's really not an excuse that they shouldn't be networking and leveraging those in the area to be able to build those trusted relationships.
Yeah, don't have that scarcity mindset. You know, there's enough deals for everybody and there always will be, you know, and all tides rise together. The people that are operating at a high level are not the selfish ones that are trying to, you know, not work with other people. They're, you know, the ones that are sharing ideas and collaborating, because, you know, some people in a competitive nature, you have no idea when a actual partnership opportunity might arise. And that's been the case for us a lot.
Well, Zach, I very much appreciate it. I think that's as good a spot as ever for us to kind of wrap up. For those that are listening, I really hope you took something away. Zach had a lot of knowledge and nuggets for us to take away from today. Zach, for those that maybe want to follow up with you, work with you, even connect with you somehow, what's the best place for them to find you and reach out?
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of resources available. You know, our website is renttoretirement.com. That's renttoretirement.com. Where you can learn more about kind of our business model, the different turnkey options available to our investors across the country. You know, our 800 number is 1-800-311-6781. You can call in to schedule an initial consultation or just email us. That's info@renttoretirement.com. And anyone that's interested in learning more about our business model or connecting with us, we usually like to start with an initial investment consultation, talking about the investor's goals, experiences, telling them more about our company, answering their questions, and really trying to help them piece together a strategic business and investment plan and go from there. But I think the website is a great place to start.
Perfect. And for those that are going to visit, please check out the YouTube video, the intro that they did. It's fantastic. Really, I think it really puts a bow on everything Zach was talking about. So Zach, thank you so much for coming out. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for the knowledge. We really appreciate the time and effort today.
Cody, it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, everyone. And we'll see everyone next time.
You've been listening to the Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast with Cody Lewis. Be sure to subscribe today on your favorite podcasting platform so you can catch every episode of the Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast.